Three people, tell them how glad you are to see them here at Word of Life. Amen. We certainly are glad to see all of you here with us. While you're being seated, we want to invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our ushers will be in the aisles now, ready to give you a Bible if you do like one, if you'd enjoy one. We'd certainly love to give one to you. While they're passing those out, we want to say congratulations to all the ladies who came to the Bloom event yesterday. Yeah, I heard you guys had a lot of fun. And in fact, guys, I think they beat us even in attendance. And so, you know, we're going to have to catch up. We've got another one coming up in May, a Mighty Men event. You know, the ladies learned from us, and that's how they did what they did. So now we can learn from them, and we can do something even better. So, no, we're just picking. A little competition is good for us. Helps us get better, but we're just having fun, and we want to invite all the men and women out to whenever we do a Mighty Men event or a Bloom event. The Mighty Men is obviously for the men. The Bloom event is obviously for the women. To come on out to these events, we really think that they are something that can make a difference in the quality of your life. We believe in that so much that we put them on for free. And there's no price, no cost of admission to these events because we want you there. And it's one of the ways that we diligently want to serve you and to give you as many opportunities to improve your life as possible. And so when we do put on these events, we want to invite you to come. Not only you, but we want to invite you to invite others to come because we think it can be a blessing to them as well. We're opening up our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be looking here at a verse in verse 47. I'm starting a new series this morning. I don't know how long we'll go, but it's called Walking in the Fog. And fog is short for the favor of God. And I am excited about it. You know, I've never done a series on favor before. I may have mentioned it here or there, but I've been preaching now for about 10 years, and I can't ever recall doing a series on it. I think the reason why is because, to me, whenever I've heard of favor being taught, it's always come across to me as something a little cheesy. I don't know, just, you know, you hear favor, you know, it gets you a good parking place, and favor can get you a discount at the mall, and I guess those things are good, but it just seemed to me, if that's all favor can do, then I don't know, you know, I don't know how much time I want to invest in studying it, but I tell you what, over the last couple of weeks now, and really the last couple of months, I've been seeing this word favor all throughout the Bible, and I began doing a diligent study of the favor of God, what it means to have the favor of God in your life resting upon you. And friend, I'm telling you, it's more than God just doing favors for you. It's not just God doing favors for you. Now, that may be a part of it, but it's so much more than that. And so let's look at this morning the favor of God. In Acts chapter 2, we see the church just getting started. God is starting this wonderful thing in the earth. And we see explosive growth taking place. Now, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. My father would always tell me, if you want to see how to live a successful life, look at Jesus. He is your role model. And he said, if you want to see how to have a successful church, look at the book of Acts. That is the church that God originally started before all of these other things crept in and told us how church should look. The book of Acts is how God intended the church to look. And in Acts chapter 2, I wrote it in my Bible, we see nine things taking place in the book of Acts. I'll just read them out to you real quickly here. Number one, you see the word being taught. Amen. We want the teaching of the word in our churches. You ought to come to church and know more about the Bible than when you came. not more about a preacher, not more about a joke, more about the Bible than when you came. They taught the word of God. Number two, they had fellowships. Fellowships are a good thing to have. They met from house to house and had a good time. Number three, they took communion. Number four, they were a people of prayer. Number five, they saw miracles. They saw miracles, the handiwork of God, the power of God on display. Number six, they were big on outreach. They were touching the lives of the people, not just spiritually, but also with natural things as well. Number seven, they had unity. They were together of like precious faith and one heart, one voice, and one mind. Number eight, they had praises in their mouth. These were a happy people who were praising God. And number nine, the last thing that we see the early church had is something that we'll read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. It says, they were praising God, there you see number eight, and having favor. I want you, if you have a pen or a highlighter or something like that, circle or underline that word, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Notice favor and adding working together. Having favor with all the people, and the Lord added. Favor with all the people. What is the favor of God? I listen to a lot of preaching. Like I said, I want to do my due diligence on the subject. And I heard several preachers mention their definition of the favor of God. I wrote down the ones I thought were good. And so I'm going to read those to you today. Just real quickly here. One preacher said, the favor of God is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. I like that. The favor of God is God doing for you what you cannot do yourself. Another preacher said, the favor of God is God's goodness displayed in an individual's life in such a way that only God can get the credit. It's God's goodness displayed on an individual's life in such a way that only God can get the credit. Another preacher said, he's a line upon line preacher. I mean, just line upon line. He said, favor is the acceptance, approval, and assistance of God awarded to us by the finished work of Christ. That's deep. That's deep. Turn to your name and say, that's deep. The favor is the acceptance, approval, and assistance of God awarded to us by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Another person said, and this is the last one that I'll read, God graciously, this is what the favor of God is, God graciously working to optimize my life for my good and His glory. God graciously working to optimize my life for my good and His glory. I like that word graciously because in the New Testament, the word favor and the word grace are the same word. It's very interesting. When they were writing it in the King James, they sometimes wrote the word out as favor, and other times they wrote the word out as grace, but it is the same Greek word. Favor and grace are the same thing. I said that to say, whenever you see Paul write something like, peace and grace be multiplied unto you, he's also saying peace and favor be multiplied unto you. I come to you in the grace of God. I come to you in the favor of God. And what you see is that the early church was very grace-minded, very favor-minded. Well, what does the favor of God really mean? I believe all of those definitions do it justice. I believe all of those definitions are good definitions. But when you look this word up in the Greek, What it actually means, the favor of God, is this. This is the Bible definition for favor. It means the divine influence of God upon the heart and its reflection in life. That's a huge definition. Somebody, well, that makes sense to me. Just hold on, by the end of the service, it will make sense. I'm going to read it again to you because I want you to write it down. The divine influence, the favor of God, is the divine influence of God upon the heart and its reflection in life. The favor of God, it is the divine influence of God upon the heart and its reflection in life. What does it mean to walk in the favor of God? What does it mean to have the favor of God on your business, on your life? Why is it important to believe God for the favor of God? Why should we seek to increase in favor? We want to answer all of these questions. I want you to see how the favor of God works, though. Go over to the book of Acts. Well, you're in the book of Acts. So go over to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And on the screens, if you can go to John chapter 13 and verse 2. John chapter 13 and verse 2. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. I want you to see real quickly here, because this is an interesting way to kind of talk about how the favor of God works. I want you to see quickly here how the enemy causes destruction in someone's life. I want you to see how he works, because I think we can glean from this how God works in someone's life too. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price." Now, let's stop right here and let me explain this to you. As I said, the early church majored on outreach. That was one of the things that the early church wanted to do, was to be strong in outreach. I know that's one of the things our church is desiring to do, to be strong in outreach. And we see that in the early church, there was a revival of compassion, people's hearts having their heart touched for their fellow man, wanting to be a blessing to their community, wanting to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So a lot of people were selling off their possessions, their excess stuff, the things that they had as luxuries in their life. They were selling those things, bringing the money to the apostles and letting them hand out the money to people who had need. Well, Ananias and Sapphira see this, and they get the idea to do the same thing. The only deal was is that they decided, we don't need to give all of this to the church. We'll hold on to a part of it. Now, here's the deal. It was theirs to give. If they didn't want to give any of it, they didn't have to. If they wanted to withhold back part of it, it was in their right to hold back part of it and only give half. But they wanted all credit, all glory going to them for their sacrifice. And so basically they lied to the church, lied to all the people there, saying, "We sold this for X amount of dollars and we're laying it all down at the apostles' feet." Now, but I want you to see why they did this. Acts chapter 5 and verse 2, they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, "Why hath," notice this, "Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Verse 4, "While it remained, was it not your own?" Meaning you could have done anything you wanted to with it. "And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your" what? "In your heart." Now remember what the favor of God is. The favor of God is the divine influence of God in your heart and its reflection in life. Now the devil, the enemy, he has never created anything He is not a creative being. He is a created being. He doesn't have the ability to create, only manipulate. And ever since the first day in the garden, what he has sought to do is to influence man's heart for man's destruction, because he saw how God was influencing man's heart for man's blessing. Notice this in John chapter 13 and verse 2. This is talking about Judas. And supper being ended, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him being Jesus. Notice, Judas didn't wake up one morning and just think, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to completely ruin my life. I'm going to sell out the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yeah, that sounds like a good idea. No, Judas did not conceive that on his own. Where did he get that idea? The enemy sowed that seed into his heart. His heart conceived it. And what happened when it got in his heart? It reflected in his life. That reflection that got sown into his heart by the enemy, that image, that influence that got sown into his heart by the enemy, then reflected in his life. And he went out and did the thing that the enemy influenced his heart to do. Let's take a little side journey here real quickly. Judas was not that ignorant. He was just fooled. And when people enter into sin, typically they are fooled. Friend, whenever you get a thought that counteracts the word of God, know where it's coming from. It's not just you thinking of it. It's the enemy trying to influence your heart. Why? He wants your life going out there and reaping destruction. He's trying to influence your heart to get it going the wrong way. I was thinking about that Arkansas coach, the college football coach. He didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, today I'm going to ruin my life. No, friend, no one is that ignorant. The enemy sows a seed into the heart of someone, and if they hold on to it and they meditate on it, it will reap destruction in their life. Now, but once again, how did he learn how to do all of that? He twisted what he saw God do. God influences man's heart for man's blessing. And this is what the favor of God does. It's God's divine influence in the heart that reflects in a man's life and causes him to walk in the blessing of the Lord. I'll give you an instance on how the favor of God works. During Christmas time, I and my wife and my sister-in-law and her kids and my kids went up to Birmingham, Alabama, where we have a lot of family on my wife's side. And we were going up there just to have fun, celebrate Christmas. And anyway, on the way back, we decided to stop in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And my wife and her sister, they grew up there. And my sister-in-law always remembered eating at this little cafe called the 15th Street Diner. And I had never heard of it, never been to it, but she was saying, we just got to eat there to bring back memories. And so anyway, we went over to this little restaurant, kind of off the main little interstate there that passes through town. And we went in there for just lunch. And while we were there, our waitress came to the table. And it was a busy day for her, or at least it seemed to be that way. You know, things were slow coming out and food was slow coming out. The orders were a little mixed up. But anyway, while I'm sitting there enjoying the company of my family, and while I'm seeing this waitress come and go, she was a lady probably in her mid-50s or so. Immediately, my heart starts to get influenced. And I just know in my heart that when it comes time to pay for this meal, I'm to give her a pretty large tip. I've never met this woman. I've never heard the story of her life. The most I have ever heard her said up to this point is the special of the day, and what would you like to drink? I've never had any type of conversations with her outside of that. But on my heart, I know I'm supposed to be good to her. I'm supposed to leave her this certain tip. And so it was one of those places where, you know, sometimes you pay up front and then you come back and leave the tip at the table, or if you're paying by card, you know, kind of like a Crackle Barrel where you don't pay the waitress at your table. And so anyway, I got up to go pay for the meal, and my family was still sitting there and saw the waitress in passing. And I gave her some money, a handful of money, and just said, you know, I want to thank you for doing a great job, and I just feel like God wants to bless you during this holiday season. Well, anyway, I go back to the table, and we're getting up to go back out to get in the car and head back home. And she stops me, I mean, just with huge crocodile tears coming down her eyes and saying, "You'll never know what that meant. That was exactly what I needed in order to basically give my family a decent Christmas this Christmas season." And anyway, friends, I tell that story not to brag on myself, but to show you this is how the favor of God works. On that particular day, the favor of God was on that woman. And when the favor of God was on that woman, God influenced my heart on her behalf. When that influence hit my heart, it reflected in her life the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the handiwork of God. When the favor of God comes on your life, comes on your business, comes on your company, it is God helping your business, yourself, your life, not only accomplish His plan. And that is one of the huge things that I think is left out when the favor of God is taught. The favor of God comes on you to accomplish the purpose and plan of God. When Moses was building the ark, the reason why he started building the ark was because he found favor in God's sight. When Mary had Jesus, it was because she found favor in God's sight. And it did more for Mary, more for Noah, than just help them get a good stall at the barn. I'm sure that might have helped, but friend, it was more than just for that. It was for them to achieve the purpose and the plan of God. They needed the favor of God on their life. And friends, when the favor of God comes upon your life, your house, your company, your career, it helps your company, your life, your career accomplish the plan of God in the earth. And it also causes you to have good success. Not just success, good success. Success that doesn't take away from any other part of your life. One of the main things that I wanted to do in studying out this subject was I wanted to study it out from a New Testament point of view. Any subject you see in the Old Testament must pass through the New Testament because that's the testament we live in today. And in the New Testament, right here in the book of Acts, we see that Stephen preaches a message, and in the message, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he mentions two people who found favor with God. Let's find out who those two people are. You're in Acts chapter 5. Go over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and let's look here in verse 9. This is Stephen preaching. He's preaching unto the high council, preaching in the synagogue, preaching to a lot of people who do not want to hear him preach. And he preaches here in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. He mentions this man named Joseph. And he says, "And the patriarchs moved with envy." Oh, envy is a terrible thing. "And sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all of his afflictions." Aren't you glad God doesn't give you affliction, but rather delivers you out of affliction? And watch what he did. Notice who's doing this. This is God. Let's read verse 9 again. "And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him," meaning God delivered him out of all his afflictions, "and God gave him favor." God gave him favor. God not only delivered him out of the afflictions of all that he was facing, God gave Joseph favor. It's a huge principle here. God gives favor. In fact, why don't you say that? Say it with me. Say, God gives favor. I want you to say it again. Say, God gives favor. And he says this, God gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and over all his house. How did Joseph get to this place? God delivered him out of his afflictions, and God gave him favor. Meaning without this favor, he never would have got to this position. Without this favor, he never would have gotten to this place in life. We're going to look at his story in a minute, but right here in Acts chapter 7 as well, let's go over to verse 45. Verse 45. We're going to look at the lives of two men today and look at how God gives favor and what the favor of God does. Next Sunday, we'll talk about how to increase in favor. If God gives favor, I want all the favor he can give me. Acts chapter 7 and verse 45, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Now notice who he's talking about here. He's talking about David. Now watch this in verse 46. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Notice David found favor in the sight of God. God gave favor to Joseph. David found favor in the sight of God. And what I want you to see today is that without them walking in favor, they never would have achieved their destiny. And this is why today, if you have been believing for the favor of God on your life and business, this is going to give you more ammunition to keep doing it. But if you have not been believing for the favor of God on your life, this is going to give you incentive to start. Every day of your life, you ought to thank God for the favor he's shown you and the favor he's letting you walk in right now. Anytime you see the favor of God in your life, even if it is something as small as a discount, friend, thank God for the favor of God. Because it is the favor of God that will allow you to walk in his divine purpose. The purpose of God for your life, it is bigger than you. You cannot accomplish it in your own strength. That's why you need faith in God in order to do it. And one of the things you need from God in order to accomplish his purpose for your life is the favor of God. Let's look at the life of Joseph. Go over to Genesis chapter 39. You know Joseph's story. His father gave him a coat of many colors. Apparently, he preferred Joseph over the rest of his boys. He loved them all the same, I guess you could say, but in the eyes of all of the boys, it seemed like he liked Joseph a whole lot more. And so when they gave, when Joseph was given this coat of many colors, they began to really get upset with him. He'd prance around in that coat, and they didn't like that one bit. And then one night, Joseph has a dream, and basically in the dream, he sees all of his brothers bowing down to him. And Joseph has more zeal than wisdom, and he goes and shares this dream with his brothers. And to top it off, he tells it in his coat. And they just get more and more furious with him. And finally, they make a decision to kill him. The older brother talks him out of doing that. They instead throw him in a pit and then sell him as a slave. Now, this is not a part of life where you want to be, especially back in those days. This is not something that would be seemingly going to work to your advantage. And here's what I want to emphasize to you as we're reading this. Joseph's condition of life here is probably far worse than anyone in this place today. In Joseph's position, in the natural, he doesn't even control his own destiny. He is the property of another person. Like a car, you can do whatever you want to with it if you own it. Joseph is owned at this point by a man named Potiphar. His condition in life seemingly has no road that will ever lead to success. So I don't know where you're at today, but what I want you to see here is that even if you're in a state like Joseph's here, if the favor of God comes upon your life, it doesn't matter your position, your title, who's trying to hurt you, who's trying to come against you, who's trying to stop you, what you lack in education, what you lack for resources, what you lack for money, what's going on in the economy, what's going on in Italy, what's going on in Greece. None of that matters if the favor of God comes upon your life. And watch what happens here in Genesis chapter 39, in verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the ites which had brought him down thither. Thither's a good word. Verse 2, now watch this. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. Wait a minute. How can he be a prosperous man? He's property of another individual. He has just been bought. If he was so prosperous, why didn't he buy himself? He's just been bought by another man. But God was with him even in that cell. And not only was God with him, but after a while in Potiphar's house, Joseph became a prosperous man too. Notice, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now notice, when the Lord is with you, there is tangible results that even a heathen can see, feel, and touch. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. We're studying the favor of God. Notice what the favor of God does. Even in adverse conditions, there's still promotion. Even in adverse conditions, God is still causing this man to prosper. So much so that even his master, the heathen, is taking notice and seeing all that Joseph puts his hand to, his Lord is blessing and causing it to prosper. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well, what? Favored. Notice what the favor of God is doing in Joseph's life. The favor of God attracts the blessing of God. It gave him grace in the eyes of Potiphar. When Potiphar sees Joseph, his heart is divinely influenced for Joseph to put Joseph in charge of his entire house. Joseph becomes a prosperous man because of the favor of God. Joseph receives a high position because of the favor of God. But here's what I want to bring across to you today. This was not just God trying to give Joseph prosperity. It was also God training Joseph for Joseph's purpose in life. The favor of God is not just for convenience. It is for God empowering you to achieve His purpose and plan and bring you good success. Friends, Joseph had favor on his life, and that favor made all the difference in the world, so much so that everything he put his hand to prospered. Imagine what your life could be like with just a smidge more favor. Just a smidge. Just a sprinkle of more favor, what your life could be like, how your life could change with just a little bit more favor, just a little bit more favor. Well, you know the story, and we're going to have to close with this. It's already 9:30. We won't even get to David. We'll have to get to him next week. You guys are listening so good. But you see, Joseph, very next after this, Potiphar's wife goes crazy. And she decides that she wants Joseph, and so she tries to hit on him, but he's a goodly man and a godly man, and he makes a decision to resist that temptation. She is spurned by him, and in her anger, basically accuses Joseph of something that he didn't do, and he gets thrown into prison. Now, you would think that in prison, the favor of God, really, how's it going to help you in prison? I mean, you're in chains, you're in shackles. And this is not like a country club prison. This is prison way back in the day. There are no golf courses, TVs, books, libraries, work time, leave. No, this is chains, you know, mud, not finished, prison. And so here he is in prison for something that he didn't do. But I want you to see what happens. This is awesome. Genesis 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Friend, it doesn't matter what you face in life. If the Lord is with you, you will be all right. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him what? What did he give him? God gives what? Favor, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, when he gets favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, what's happening in the prison keeper's heart? His heart is divinely influenced by God to be good to Joseph. And once his heart is influenced to be good to Joseph, it reflects in life. And he makes a decision, I'm going to be good to him. And verse 22, and the keeper of the prison, the guy who runs the prison, committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Joseph is a prisoner. But God gave him so much favor that the prisoner comes in and the guy who's over the prison says, you know what? You should be running this place. Gives him the whole keys, the whole kit and caboodle right there to run, operate. And watch what happens here in verse 22. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. He went on vacation, a paid vacation with Joseph doing his job. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to what? Even in prison, Joseph is prospering. Even in prison, Joseph is being promoted. Why? It's the favor of God. It's the favor of God. God gave Joseph favor. Why? It wasn't just to exalt him in prison. But once again, what's Joseph doing? He's running something. He ran Potiphar's house. Now he's running the prison. Why? It's training him to run a nation, to save nations from famine later when he gets before the great Pharaoh. And once again, you see when he gets before Pharaoh, the Lord gives Joseph favor in Pharaoh's sight. So much so that here you have an outsider being in second in command of the most powerful nation on earth. How did he get to that place? It was the favor of God. Here's what I want to leave you with today. We're going to talk about it over the next couple of weeks, at least next week, I would think for sure. You can increase in favor. I don't care where you're at right now or what's going on in your life or in this world, what you read in the newspaper. According to what we have just seen, don't believe me because I'm hyping up a subject. I don't believe in hype. Believe the truth. Believe the Word of God. We saw in the Word of God, not a story out of the Wall Street Journal, not a story out of Reader's Digest, in the Word of God, to argue with this is to argue with the Word. We saw in the Word of God how God gave a man favor. And when that favor touched his life, it changed everything about his life. It enabled God to achieve his purpose, and it brought Joseph good success. Friend, God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he has to do it for all. God wants to give you favor. And what we want to learn in this series is how to walk in the fog, the favor of God. Every